Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada ki. Yeah. ISKCON BBT founder Chaya Jagaguru Srila Prabhupada ki. Yeah. Ananda Kura Vaishnavinda ki. Nam Chaya Shlahidasta Kura ki. Prem Shigaho Shikishan Chaitana Prabhu Nityananda Shidweta Gadadar Shivasari Go Bhakta Vrinda ki. Sisi Radhakrishna Go Gopina Shama Kundra Radhakun Giri Govardhan ki. Vrindavandam ki. Maturadam ki. Torkadam ki. Navridam ki. Jagannapuri Dham ki, Jamuna Maa ki, Ganga Maa ki, Tulsi Maharani ki, Bhakti Devi ki, Samvira Bhakti Vindi ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Sisi Radha Rasa Brihari ki, Shri Krishna Sankirtana Jiga ki, All glories to the divine Lord Sita C.C. Guru and Gauranga. Krishna Sadama Bhakate Dhamiganadi Bisaha Kalana Sadashamesha Prana Kora Lodita Narayana Namaskichan Naram Chaivam Narotama Devim Sarasatim Vyasam Tato Jaya Mudirayat. The Bhagavatam is a brain, it is the sun. It is arisen just after the departure of Lord Krishna to his own abode. persons who've lost their knowledge, vision of the dense dark age of Kali should get light out of this Purana. Before beginning our study of the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is every means of conquest, we should first offer respects to the personality of Godhead Narayan, the Narayan Rishi, the supermost human being, the goddess of learning, Mother Saraswati, the author, Srila Vyasadeva, and my spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Before we start, I'd just like to say how very fortunate I feel today to be sitting. And I first came to Juhu, I forget what year it was, early 70s. And the temple was like a Quonset hut. And I remember I was cooking something for the deities and we had milk. And when the milk curdled to make, you know, paneer, it just turned into this lump. And there were the rats running across the roof. And now to see, you know, such a beautiful temple maintained so nicely, the most beautiful marble floor in ISKCON. I just want to offer my respects to the Juhu devotees, the Juhu managers, for maintaining Prabhupada's temple so nicely. Thank you very much, Hare Krishna. So we are on the... Yes, thank you very much to the Prabhu. No easy thing. So we're on the fourth canto, chapter 26, text 4. Yeah? Hey. Chachara mrigayam tatra dripta ateshu kamuka vihaya jayam atad aham mriga vyasana lalasaha chachara mrigayam tatra Driptate shukamukha Vihaya jayamata atadharam Jayam Mruguvyasana lalasaha Chachara mrigayam tatra Driptate shukamukha Vihaya jayamata dharam Mrigavyasana lalasaha Chachara mrigayam tatra Driptate shukamukha Pihaya jayamatadharam Mrigavyasana lalasaha. Chachara mrigayam tatra Dripate shukamukaha Vihaya jayamatad arham Niyana yana lalasaha Chachara mrigayam tatra Driptade shukamukha Matajis? Vihaya jayamatad arham Mrigavyasana lalasaha Chachara executed Mrigayam hunting Tatra there Dripta being proud Ata having taken Ishu arrow Kamukaha bow. Vihaya giving up. Jayam his wife. Atat arham. Although impossible. Mriga, hunting. Vyasana, evil activities. Lalasaha, being inspired by. It was almost impossible for King Paranjana to give up the company of his queen even for a moment. Nonetheless, on that day, being very much inspired by desire to hunt, he took up his bow and arrow with great pride and went to the forest, not caring for his wife. Also you say. It was almost impossible for King Paranjana to give up the company of his queen, even for a moment. Nonetheless, on that day, being very much inspired by the desire to hunt, he took up his bow and arrow with great pride and went to the forest, not caring for his wife. Purport. One form of hunting is known as woman hunting. A conditioned soul is never satisfied with one wife. Those whose senses are very much uncontrolled especially try to hunt for many women. King Paranjana's abandoning the company of his religiously married wife is a representative of the conditioned soul's attempt to hunt for many women for sense gratification. Wherever a king goes, he's supposed to be accompanied by his queen. But when the king or conditioned soul becomes greatly overpowered by the desire for sense gratification, he does not care for the religious principles. Instead, with great pride, he accepts the bow and arrow of attachment and hatred. Our consciousness is always working in two ways, the right way and the wrong way. When one becomes too much proud of his position, influenced by the mode of passion, he gives up the right path and accepts the wrong one. Kshatriya kings are sometimes advised to go to the forest to hunt ferocious animals just to learn how to kill. But such forays are never meant for sense gratification. Killing animals to eat their flesh is forbidden for the human beings. Om Agnata Marandasya Gyana Ganasavakaya Jokshushimulatan Gyana Tazani Shri Gurave Namaha. So we should remember what this scene is here. We've actually got Narada Muni speaking to King Pachinibharishat. And this example, because the man is proud, you know, if you give good instruction to a fool, what happens? He becomes angry. He becomes upset. So this is an allegory which Narada Muni is trying to very carefully get through the mindset of King Pachinibharishat. So Paranjana is who? Yours truly, the conditioned soul. And the analogy is that the queen is the intelligence. The simple fact of the matter is when we leave aside our intelligence, we go searching for sense gratification. So that's what's being described here. Also, we know a little bit, if you read in the analogy a little further, when the king comes back, he can't find his queen. When we engage in sense gratification, and all that comes with that, the aham bhoghi, the consciousness that comes with that, we lose, our intelligence is lost and difficult to recover. I was thinking, if you look at the shape of an arrow, you know, an arrowhead, it goes in very easily, isn't it? It's designed so there's minimal resistance. But to pull it out, it's very difficult. So the insidious nature of association with the senses and the sense objects is that very easily we go into it. And before we realize it, how attached we are, how difficult it is to pull out that attachment. So that's what's being described here. One of the things being described here. Srila Prabhupada, because a bird flies in the sky according to its ability, and my little range is to tell some Prabhupada stories, tell a few jokes, maybe create a few mental pictures that you'll walk home with. So knowing my parameters, I'll stay within that. Prabhupada was in Detroit. And he met, there was a priest across the street. Anyway, it's a long story. We used to park in his parking lot, used to upset him. You know, typical devotee thing. He'd plant new roses, we'd pick all the roses, you know. So we had this kind of ras with the guy. But he came to see Srila Prabhupada. And in the beginning, he was very critical. And he was trying to make the point, why have you come to the West? What if we're here. What can you offer that we're not already doing? And he tried to make all of his different presentations.
And one by one, Prabhupada was cutting them down. Finally, he came to the point. So finally, Prabhupada came to this point. I have a little friend here, who's a fly, who seems to determine to join me. So he came to this point. What is the difference between you and me? You know, what is our difference? And Prabhupada stepped back, and Prabhupada said, "All right. Do you agree that men are suffering?" "Yes, we agree. We agree that men are suffering. Mankind, humankind." "All right, why is humankind suffering?" "Well, we're suffering because we're separated from God, from the Supreme, from Krishna." "Okay, we're on the same path." Then Prabhupada said, "And what is separating us from Krishna?" From the, so he didn't say Krishna, he said from God. "What is separating us?" And the man said, "Sin. Sin is separating us." And Prabhupada slammed his hand and said, "That is my point." He said, "Why aren't you teaching how to live a sinless life?" That was the difference between us and them. Our Vaishnav, Gaudiya Math, Srila Prabhupada, ISKCON life. The difference is that we are teaching how to live a sinful life. Sinless life. Whereas they go on sinning and they think, you know, no one, we all fall short. No one could be saved from sinful life. And therefore we just pray, you know, "Jesus save me, you know. When I get to heaven, going to see them pearly gates. When I get to heaven, going to eat them chops and steaks." You know, they're not changing at all. Just as a sidelight, because the man was actually sincere, as they went on in their... And the man was stunned. He accepted that. He realized, you could see that his consciousness turned from that he was meeting a competitor, that he was actually meeting a saintly person who could help him. And it became very sweet. After a while, the guy he began to surrender to Prabhupada. Prabhupada had given him his garland, had given him nice mahaprasadam. The man actually began to lament, this priest. He said, "You know, you have so many young people." He said, "We have only old ladies, widows, you know. What is the difference?" Prabhupada said, "I understand that you have one ceremony." He said, "You offer one dried wafer." He said, "You introduce these Bengali sweets, full attendance." And any of you who know Christian, a Catholic tradition, they take communion, you know, and they get that dry little, the host or whatever it is, you know. But if you offered people glove jamans, I mean, they would show up, you know. I was also thinking metaphorically that thing is very dry, like what do they call it, an oil cake, that all it's just dry, everything's been pressed out of it. So their process is very dry. But Krishna consciousness is very juicy, like a nice Bengali glove jam, very juicy, you know, so. And when the man left, just as a sidelight, as he was leaving, he bowed and offered respects. He had a garland. He had a little box of prasadam, you know. And he said to Srila Prabhupada, it was actually, anyway, I've said it before, but it was very sweet. He said to Srila Prabhupada, "I feel like I've become your disciple." And then he left. And Prabhupada quoted, you know, that one who, from Upadeshamrita, one who can control his senses can make disciples all over the world. So this business of controlling the senses, that's when the intelligence becomes clear. The Atato Brahma Jigyasya Vedanta Sutra starts. And that Atato means, after a long struggle, we have not gotten here easily to this human form of life. So we should not waste it. Now, why spend your time asking the questions of dogs and cats and camels and hogs and asses and all of that? No. The human form of life is meant for genuine inquiry. Atato Brahma Jigyasya. What is spiritual? Prabhupada said human life means to sort into two piles. What is sat, what is asat. What is temporary, and what is permanent. Chanakya Pandit says you should never give up the permanent for the temporary. You will lose both. So one could count. This world is temporary. So let me put that aside and let me find out what is true. That should be our basis of our process. What is value? What is true? What is good? All of that. If just like there's a pattern over here on this floor, or marble, or you know, a carpet, woven Persian rug, or whatever it is, if you're too close to it, you just see the colors. You can't see much. If you can pull back, you can say, "Oh, there's a pattern here." And if you pull further back, oh, and that pattern fits in that pattern. If you pull all the way back, you can see the whole pattern. The fact of the matter is that we are being cheated, but we do not see the pattern. Because we are so feverish for speaking to myself, of course, we are so feverish for sense gratification, we cannot see the pattern. But if Prabhupada talks about in those Vrindavan Bhajan, those wonderful poems, Prabhupada says, you know, how I saw the naked face of the material world, material nature, and it gives me a laugh. He talks about all that's left of this family life, which everyone's absorbed in. All that's left of this family life is a list of names, so it just gives me a laugh. So this ability, Prabhupada was walking in Shevet Hills. Anyway, it's in Los Angeles. And he usually walked clockwise direction. This particular day, he's walking with the devotees. You can hear on the tape, he's walking counterclockwise. And Prajapati is there with his thespian Shakespearean voice. He says to Srila Prabhupada, I say, Srila Prabhupada, when we walk in the park from a different direction, because usually clockwise, now they're going counterclockwise, when we walk in the park in a different direction, and we see all the objects from a different angle, it appears to be a brand new park. And Prabhupada just starts to laugh here. He said, yes. He said, this is material life. It is the same thing. Eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. But we see it in a little different body, a little different angle, a little different fashion. It is the same thing. But we think, oh, it's brand new. And in this way, the living entity goes on and on and on and on. Prabhupada tells the story, short version. The man goes to see the prostitute, gives up his good wife, goes to see the prostitute. And the prostitute says, no, there's an etiquette to these things. First you have a nice meal, this and that. So she's, and every prep that's coming, suppose there's whatever, some soup comes first. It's in an iron bowl, it's in a copper bowl, it's a gold bowl. Next, whatever the veg comes, whatever comes. Same prep, same dish, but it's in a copper bowl, it's in an iron bowl, copper bowl, gold bowl. So this goes on several courses. Then she says, all right, we're finished now. Come and enjoy. He says, I have one question, though. Why are the same dish in three different bowls? The prostitute says, fool, go home. Anyone know the purport? Yes, Prahlad Nandamarsh. However it's packaged. She's saying, you have your good wife. Why are you bothering with me? It's the same taste. But because it's a little different angle, we think, oh, it's a brand new thing. So the... In America, it must be here as well. You know Coca-Cola? I mean, we don't drink this nonsense, but it's... My brother worked at a Coca-Cola bottling factory when he was going to college, loading and unloading trucks, and you drop so many barrels. You know, you're always dropping, you know, bottles and this or that. He had leather boots. At the end of 2 months working, the Coca-Cola splashing on his boots had eaten through his boots. So imagine what it does to your insides, but that's another thing. It is brown, sugary fizz water. That's all it is. But they have so many different... It's new, it's improved, it comes in a bigger bottle, smaller bottle, different color. It's the same thing. But because it's new, it's, you know, it's got a different body, it's a liter size, or, oh, it's a, you know, handy shape. Jai Sri Radha Rasa Bihari. Take just, because it's mentioned here, a few elements of that naked face of material nature that is bewildering us. We're talking a little bit, it talks about how attached he was to his wife. In India, they have some sophistication, at least some left, of Vedic tradition where they burn the body and put the ashes in the Ganga or something like that. In America, they bury the body. And people buy joint tombs, so that the husband and wife can be buried next to each other. And people put in their will that I want to be buried next to my wife. There was a big fight in San Diego because, most of my time in San Diego, this one man had divorced his wife and married a second wife. Then he died, and the two wives fought over who could be buried next to him. So even who knows where they actually are, the living entities move far beyond. But this idea of deep, deep, deep attachment to the wife. We had a mother who came, because of saffron cloth, it's my duty to speak to them. We had a mother who came, and she was very upset that her son had now become a brahmachari. He said, you're not getting married. A wife takes all the bumps out of the road of life. You know, like the road is bumpy and a wife makes everything nice, you go home and the wife is there. Of course, everyone knows usually this does not happen. We had one brahmachari that we shaved up recently, a new bhakta, had all these bumps all over his head. So I asked him, what happened? You know, it was a marred landscape. He said, oh, well, this is where my first wife hit me with a baseball bat. He said, this is where my second wife hit me with the golf clubs. He said, this is where my third wife hit me with an iron, you know, ironing club. And this is why my fourth wife slammed my head in the car door. I was thinking, how do you even do that, you know? So, doesn't necessarily take the bumps out of life. And I'll tell one joke and then I'll tell a Prabhupada joke. There was a man walking down the road, a beach, and he stubs his toe. For the ladies, you can flip this the other way. So this is a gender, not, you know, you don't take offense. You can tell it with the man. So, you know, it's equal offensive, both sides. The man is walking down the beach, stubs his toe. There's some little, he looks, it's a genie bottle. He dusts the thing off. Sure enough, a genie comes out and says, I will grant you one wish. So the man says, you know, my family, I'm here in California, that's on the West Coast. My family lives out in Hawaii, out across the ocean. And I have to fly out to see them, they have to fly, it's so expensive. He said, could you just build me a bridge so I could drive from California to Hawaii? And the genie says, you know, come on, you know how much cement that's going to take and how much steel, you know, give me a break, ask for something reasonable. So the guy says, okay, sorry. He says, my wife and I fight all the time. He said, could you just tell me how to keep my wife happy? The genie says, when do you want that bridge by? Prabhupada's joke goes like this, because it's talking about the desire to have two wives. So Prabhupada said, a man had two wives. One was a little older, the other was a little younger. So young wife, old wife, and the man. Prabhupada said that the man would come home at night, and he would rest his head on the lap of his wife. And, you know, she would caress his head and his headache would go very nice like that. What he didn't know that was when he put his head, and one night he would rest his head on the older wife's lap and the other one on the younger wife's. So when he was resting his head on the older wife's lap, she didn't want him to run off with the younger wife. He would pull out all the dark hair, leaving him the gray hairs. When he would lay his head on the lap of the younger wife, she would pull out all the dark hair. She wanted him to look young. Prabhupada said, in no time, the poor man was bald. Prabhupada's story, the point was that if we try to serve spiritual life and material life, we will lose both. You know, better to just serve Krishna. But the point I wanted to make is if we are being kicked, Prabhupada says, kicked like a football. This material nature, I was talking with a man, and he mentioned to me, well, what was he doing? I was getting my car fixed or something, and he said, I heard him say to his friend, he said, well, they were, you know, chit-chatting some nonsense. And the one guy said, oh, I'm just killing time. You know, they have this saying in India, oh, I'm just killing time. And I was thinking, he's not killing time. Time is killing him. That's what's actually happened. And if you look at this body is our platform for enjoyment. I'm trying to, in my own rudimentary way, present the naked face of this material nature. We're thinking if I just take shelter of a wife, if I just take shelter of this body. But actually, it's all foolishness. It is that this material world is very cruel, actually. We had one man who joined, very wealthy, came from a well-to-do family. He had just been accepted into Harvard. Harvard is the Param Gatim. Stanford, a little competition, but basically it's Param Gatim, best university. Well-to-do family. Arranged to marry a beautiful wife. He met the devotee. The devotee was talking about how all of this is, you know, nothing was getting through. The man was thinking, I'm enjoying like it. What? If I just stay on the conveyor belt, I'm going to enjoy like anything. The devotee said, there's one thing about this world. Nobody gets out alive. And it rattled around in the guy's head. He thought, you know, it's a fact. They asked Prabhupada, this is 1970s, India at that time was third world, America was first world. Now, of course, India's becoming first world, America's becoming third world. But they said to Srila Prabhupada, why is the death rate so high in India? Prabhupada's response, death rate is the same everywhere, 100%. So the simple fact is, if you look at it, everyone becomes crushed by this material nature. I'll give you another example. If you look at this body, you ask, there was a little kid who just shot by here. I wanted to ask him, pull him aside as Exhibit A and ask him a question. I guarantee, if I said to that boy, I want to guess your age. Now, let's suppose I know that he's 8 years old. If you ever, because kids ask you this all the time, how old am I? You know? So, whatever their age, guess a little older. You think he's 8, say he's 10. How does that boy feel? Oh, you see his chest swell. He's, great. They want to be older. They want to be older. Now, you talk to suppose you find someone, even my age, 58, and aging fast. If you were to ask me, oh, I don't care, but I want to get older, actually. I'd like to die, to tell you the truth. I wouldn't really, I'm not me. Although I want to serve, but that's another thing. Take someone who's 60 years old. You know he's 60. How old are you, sir? No, I'll guess. Say that he's younger, 58. How does the man feel? Well, he feels great. Add on to that, oh, you've lost weight, you're his best friend, you know? So my simple point is that I've done a field study, frankly, Prabhu's, and I can report the results. People want to be, you ask a kid, how old are you? I'm 6 and a half, I'm 7 and a half. They'll say, I'm 8 and 3 months. I mean, they want to go forward. And up to around, okay, so they want to go forward. That's up to maybe 20. Well, I'll do it this way. And if you ask an older person, how long do they want to get younger? They want to get younger, younger, younger. The window that people are actually satisfied with their age is about 18 to about 24, 25. If you got someone who's 25 and you tell them they look older, they think, oh, geez, youthful vigor is gone. And you get someone who's 18, you tell them to look 17, they don't like it. 18, 19, 20. So it's around 20 to maybe 20. Let's be generous. Let's say 18 to about 28. If you live 80 years, I don't know when you can do the math here, but the simple point is, and actually it says that when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas at 24, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur took sannyas at 24, Prabhupada said that is the apex. Anybody here over 24? It's all downhill, Prabhus. So, this body, which is just taking one simple aspect of this body. We could spend the whole class going over different aspects. But this body of an 80-year lifespan is really only comfortable for a very short period of time. 10 years at the max. So, if we look out at it, this platform for enjoyment via this body, it is not that much. It is nothing, as they say in America, to write home about. If we take the example, let's proceed further with this. You know the storyline. What happens is Paranjana, ultimately he dies thinking of his wife. He comes back as a woman. Ultimately his husband dies and she's left alone. Ultimately and if you take the idea of the intelligence and the living entity, you take this analogy. The fact of the matter is, ultimately, we are all helpless. I came to the temple. You think I'm arrogant now? You should have seen me before. When I came to the temple, the first time in Los Angeles, Prabhupada was speaking. And I heard him say, bow down. Bow down. And I remember thinking at the time, I thought, why bow down? I'm in California. I got so many things. I also thought this is a type of low self-esteem and I thought, well, let prove yourself first. Let me hear you. Prove yourself. Then I'll bow down. Why should I bow down before the deity like that? Prabhupada then said, it's all right. Later on the lecture, he said, it's all right. You don't want to bow down. He said, you can bow down to Krishna, to the Supreme, out of love, out of knowledge, out of intelligence. Or not. He said, or you can have your head pushed down at the high time of death. Either way, you must bow down. And it's a fact. The Prabhupada gives the example of the mosquito buzzing around. The mosquito's flying in the king's palace. The king is, you know, the mosquito lands on the king's shoulder. And the mosquito looks out and sees everyone is bowing down to me. I'm sitting on the throne. I'm being fanned. He feels so excited, just like a kitten, you know, a baby cat. When it's happy, it begins to purr. So evidently, the little mosquito, when it feels like everyone's bowing down, everyone's praying, bzzz. What does the king do? So he's sitting on the throne, but within 1 second, he's finished. That is our actual position. Govinda Das gives the example of the drop of water on a lotus leaf. With any minute, it can tip. That we had a gentle, that little cough in your throat, you go to the doctor, you could have cancer. That little pain in your side, whatever, that little whatever. That we had a man, Mr. Prakash, well, I don't know if we have time. Mr. Prakash woke up one day with a headache, little pain behind his eye, went to the hospital, turns out he has a brain tumor. They did the operation. 4 times he almost died on the operating table. I'm going to tell the story because it just happened. It's in my mind. Wife calls me. It's cerebral thrombosis. Some tiny little blood vessel just blew and immediately goes to the hospital. As a sidelight, help me get back to this point of how Govinda Das and the lotus leaf. Mr. Prakash, South Indian Brahmin, very reserved man. Nice guy, but reserved. Not very demonstrative. Not, you know, he was coming in a Shaivite tradition. So, you know, he's a devotee. But, you know, Krishna's God, all right, whatever. It's all manifestation of the Brahman, thinking like that. His wife calls me, tells me he's had this, he's in the hospital. So I came to see him. And, you know, in my role as a priest, many of you here, we've seen so many people about to die or, you know. He looked 1 foot in the grave. He was in a coma, he had the tube, everything. I read some Bhagavad Gita, we chanted, I would come see him every week. This went on for 6-7 weeks. His wife called me after 7 weeks. He's come out of the coma, they've taken the tube out, he's completely recovered, but he will only speak to you. Well, all right, maybe he's going to put us on our will. No. So I thought, let me go see. So I went. Relatives are there. Doctor's there. Doctor reminds me, we call him our miracle man. We almost lost him 4 times. So I said, Prakashji, how are you? He said, Badri, 4 times they came. 100% true. I'm narrating 100% true. So what his dimwit relative said, oh yes, we were visiting him in the hospital and he was, you know, but he didn't know that we were, maybe he knew. He said, no. He said, 4 times they came. So the doctor says, yes, 4 times we almost lost him on the emergency table. We had to bring in special teams. He says, no, the guy's getting frustrated. You know, he's weak from all he's been through. He can barely sit up, but he's quite animated by this. He said, no, 4 times they came. Other set of dimwit relatives said, oh yes, we were trying to find him, but he was sleeping, he was having a... He said, no! 4 times they came. So I was thinking, I said, the Vishnu Dutas came? He said, no, the bad people. I said, oh, Yama Dutas. He's nodding his head, you know, yes. By this time, you know, the nurse, the doctor, they're all tuned into what's happening. So he says, 4 times they came for me. When they came, I said, you can take me. You can leave me. I am simply in the hands of Krishna. And they went away. Again they came. He said, you can take me. You can leave me. He said, but why are you bothering me? I am depending on Krishna. 3rd time they came. Same thing. He said, why are you bothering me? Take me, leave me. Just get it over with. I'm depending on Krishna. 4th time they came. He said, then the good people came. When the good people came, the bad people said, oh, we cannot touch him now. And they left. And that's when he came out of his coma. So, but the blissful thing, the whole thing was pretty blissful. But then, as, you know, he was trying to speak, I was leaning forward. I thought he fell back in his bed. After he'd finally gotten it out, you know, what had happened. This man was a changed man, you know. And he fell back. And so I was leaning back and he grabbed my hand. He pulled me back. And he said, before, I was not so serious. He said, but now, 100%. So, it's quite enlivening. But the point I wanted to make, there was a proud man, very wealthy, what is it, Janmaishvaya Shruti Shri Beer, very intoxicated with these things. And his friend prevailed on him. There's one sadhu, there's one saintly Vaishnava is visiting our village. Go see, let's come see him. Ah, you know, as Prabhupada say, they say depend on God, but they come to me for charity, you know. So he was thinking like that I'm actually maintained. I have some Brahmins I maintain. He comes, he does some puja, I give him a few rupees, and you know, jai, jai. Anyway, he went to see him. The sadhu, understanding the man's process, the face of index of the mind, he could understand. So the man after the pravachan, the wealthy man, said, you know, Swamiji, let me give you something. I could give you some cow or some village. You must want something. And the sadhu said, thank you very much. He said, actually, it's correct. You can help me. He said, I have this needle, this sewing needle I use for repairing my cloth, and I lose it all the time. He said, can you keep this needle for me and just give it back to me in my next life? Just keep it, give it to me in my next life. And the rich man began to calculate. You know, I don't know, in America, you can't even buy a single needle. They're so insignificant. You have to buy a packet. It's such an insignificant thing. But the rich man began to calculate this insignificant thing. I can't even keep it for my next life. What do you speak of? My house, my land, my titles, everything's finished. He could understand the point the sadhu was making. So, our simple point is, as it's described here, because it says from loss of intelligence, attachment, you know, aversion, and the cornerstone, the crux of the thing is pride. What feeds the thing is pride. But the duty of the material nature is to reduce our pride. Prabhupada gives the example of a man is cutting wood. Tree is like this, branch is like this, the man is sitting here, and let's suppose he's sawing right here. Okay? Now what's going to happen? Newton's basic law of, you know, what's going to happen to this fellow when he saws through? He's going to fall and crash on his head. His friend comes and says, hey, you know, don't get on the other side. You're going to fall and crack your head. Good instruction. The man says, oh, what are you, a woodcutter? What do you know? Run along, man. So, you know, of course, he keeps sawing. He falls, he cracks his head. His friend sees him the next day with this big bandage on his head. Rather than admitting the friend gave him good advice, he says, oh, you must have been a great astrologer. You could see the future. It is very difficult for all of us to accept. Prabhupada says that the one cow patty is on the wall drying. The other cow patty is going into the fire. The cow patty on the wall is saying, ha, 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 see what's happening to you. The cow patty in the fire says, you're next. So it is, when you go into the Vatican, they have a skull there, the Vatican Museum, and it says, what? As you are, I once was. So the skull is saying to the person, as you are, I once was. As I am, you will become. So an intelligent person who by detachment can step back and see the pattern understands what is all this. It is all finished at the time of death. And what is of actual value. But it requires us having our pride reduced. So I just wanted to say a few things and end on that. The fact of the matter is, people will say that, you know, you say you're dependent on Krishna and you're a humble bhakta and das, anudas. This is low self-esteem. To say that you're dependent, you know, I am an independent man. I am the owner of all I survey. If I say I'm dependent on air, is that a sign of weakness? If I say, all of you depend on air, you're all accepting a material crutch. For me, I don't need air. What will you think? Oh, I'm not breathing. You say, good luck, Budri. We'll time you. We'll see how long you make it, you know? I say, I don't need water. All of you are dependent. I'm not dependent on water. You think the guy's got some kind of neurosis. Everybody has to drink. Everybody has to have water. What's his issue? What's his problem? Rather, to not admit that dependence is a sign of neurosis or psychosis. It's a sign of a mental illness. So the fact of the matter is, Prabhupada says, we don't even know how we're digesting our food. We don't know how our eyes are blinking. It's all going on by the mercy of Supersoul. I have a desire to move my hand, and my hand moves. Independent of that, I can't even move my hand. I can't do anything. So, to recognize that dependence, that is the sign of intelligence. And at that point, one can actually become free from this cycle that's being described here. Prabhupada talks about dayabhak. We're going to end here. But Prabhupada talks about dayabhak, that like an animal sold out. If we accept, I have a certain amount of happiness, I have a certain amount of distress. Prahlad Maharaj says, anybody here go looking for unhappiness? Anybody here, unless, any masochist in the room? No, nobody goes out looking for unhappiness. Any of us ever experience unwanted happiness coming unsought? Anybody ever have that happen to them? Every single one of us. We can be wrong 19 times. We get it right 20th time. 1 out of 20. We think, oh, just see my keen intelligence and expertise. So, if we accept, as Prahlad Maharaj, just as your unhappiness comes unsought, our happiness is also going to come. Chanaka Pandit says our length of our life, our numbers of breaths, our opulence, it's all set. Of course, for devotees, as a sidelight, Prabhupada in Detroit, there was one man asked Prabhupada, can you read my palm? You know, they asked, oh, Swamiji, you know, Astavad, fix my knee, you know, Om Jagajaya, what is it? Give me a house and a car, give me a new car and a house by the sea, Om Jaya Jagadishari. So they're thinking, give me some material benefit, you know. Prabhupada explained, no, we simply depend on Krishna. Prabhupada described the childlike innocence of a devotee. The man missed the whole point, said, can you read my palm? Prabhupada said, give me your hand. So actually, I thought, gee, he's going to read his hand. I'll probably read my hand too. We all queued up, you know. Prabhupada, expert theatrics, Prabhupada turned it, sitting low like this desk, turned on the desk lamp, took the man's hand. Mm-hmm. You know, they push the hand, look at the lines. Mm-hmm. Then Prabhupada said, all bad. He said, birth, death, disease, and old age. I thought the man was going to have a heart attack, you know. And because Prabhupada was so heavy. But it's true. Everyone has the same fate. But then Prabhupada said, but you clap your hands at kirtan, all the lines go away. So, but the point I'm trying to make, on one hand, for a Vaishnava, we become a devotee, all bets are off. But if we accept the fact of the matter, this body is temporary, it's going to dust to dust, ashes to ashes. It's going to be, what is it? It's Hamlet, sans teeth, sans hair, sans everything. And whatever happiness, it's coming, it'll come, it'll not come. I love prasadam, especially sweets. I'm also diabetic, so I can't eat sweets. But sometimes my doctor's not always present. So I had a nice plate of nice prasadam with some nice sweets. It was a festival day. And I was going to go to my office. You know, I dealt with all the anxieties of the day. And I was, actually, it's Prabhupada's Vyasa Puja. And I had the brand new Vyasa. I was going to take some nice prasadam and I was going to read Vyasa Puja. I thought, just lock the door, disconnect the phone. Fantastic for a few hours, you know? And, you know, this devotee wanted to know about this, and this life member showed up with, you know, 15 relatives, and what were they going to eat? And so I cut my way through it. And I got right to it. I thought, all I have to do is open this door. But I had the Bhagavatam, I had the Vyasa Puja, I had the prasadam, and the key. And as I turned that, I slipped, and the whole plate of prasadam, just like in slow motion, boom, and it landed on the dirt, and the sand, it was finished, you know? Simple thing. I mean, we all have our plans. And within a second, finished. So, if one accepts that simple mood, like a sold-out animal, when I got my beads, Prabhupada gave me my beads, he said, oil and string them nicely. They're your ticket back to Godhead. There's my ticket. If I just serve nicely, chant nice japa, don't offend the Vaishnavas, like a green mango and a ripe mango, only time is separating. So if we can, all these plans, put it all aside because it's going to come to naught. Happiness will come automatically, unsought. Prabhupada said one time, he saw that, what is it, in the insurance, you have Allstate insurance, and they have the advertisement is you see palms like this, hands cupped like this, and in the safe nest of those hands, you have the house and the family, the car. In America, they always have the faithful dog Fido is there. So, you know, so Prabhupada saw this. Immediately he said, Yokesh mam bahamyaham. The Krishna preserves what we have. He carries what we lack. So Prabhupada saw it like this. Prabhupada said, I was sitting in the room. Prabhupada said, you think you're sitting on the floor? I am sitting on the hand of Krishna. So for one who had, this is the alternative. If we can push all of this other plan making aside, accept the destiny of this body, and let me use this in the interim according to my ability in the service of Krishna. This is the peaceful, abhaya, fearless platform. Na sojate, na kanchate, Brahmabhuta prasanatma. One last story and we'll end. I was sitting in Los Angeles, La Cienega. No, it was in the new temple, actually. Well, the current temple, Watsika. Prabhupada's darshan room, in one corner, if you go to that Prabhupada's room, there's that window in back and a window on the side. It was a cold, cloudy day. We were all, as they say in Australia, rugged up. Everybody had chadars, caps. It was cold, a little cold in Prabhupada's room. Srila Prabhupada was sitting behind his darshan desk. Somehow or other, the clouds cleared. We've all had this experience. This ray of sun comes out. That ray of sun was bathing Srila Prabhupada. It came, a shaft of golden light came right through the room, right on Prabhupada. The rest of us were in darkness, figuratively and literally. And Prabhupada was being bathed in this golden ray of sun. I wish someone had gotten a photograph. It was mystical and beautiful. Catching the moment, Prabhupada looked out and said, yes. He said, someday you will feel this sunlight just like your lover's embrace. So that warm, loving embrace. Krishna's the pure taste in water. He's the fragrance of the earth. He's the light in the sun and the moon. Someone said to Prabhupada, show me God. You know, usually Prabhupada would say, do you have the qualification to see? So in this particular case, the man said, show me God. Prabhupada said, that is the wrong question. He said, our question to you, sir, is why can't you see God? We are seeing God everywhere. Vaishnav says, here's Krishna standing here, but Krishna's the light of the sun and the moon. Krishna's, we see Krishna everywhere. Why are you such a fool that you can't see Krishna? That's the point. So our simple point is that if we take this analogy and we see what it came to, ultimately you have Paranjana becomes Vidarbhi and even then is left alone and is saved by the unknown Brahman friend who gives her spiritual knowledge. If we can simply come to that point, take up devotional service, engage in Krishna's service, we'll become fully happy in this life and back home, back to Godhead. So we should end there. It's 9 o'clock. We have meetings. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
It's just north of you. It's just over there. I have a place.